Our gospel today is from the first chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending their nets. Immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What is the gospel? What is the good news of God? This past week, I, along with millions of people probably around the world, watched the inauguration of the new president of the United States and all the festivities around that. There was all of the fanfare, military bands, even had the long trumpets playing the special music. There were all kinds of rituals, speeches, and all kinds of celebration visuals, kind of announcing, celebrating this new presidency. And a whole lot of it included, I mean, one of the themes throughout was it's a new day, there's light shining, words of hope, words of moving together, words of unity and working together for the good of all the people in the U.S., and I would hope in the world also. This whole event, all these ceremonies, they're pretty good access to actually the way the gospel writer Mark begins his gospel. The very first words in his gospel are the beginning of the good news, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus, the King of the world. These words, gospel, 2,000 years ago, they were used to say that this is a message, this is good news from the king, from the emperor. The word is euangelion, which is translated gospel or good news. You kind of hear the word even evangelism or the noun of it is evangelion, euangelion. And it, when people were exposed, when there was a euangelion, this gospel, it was usually heralded as a word from the king and heralded as good news from the king. Mark very intentionally uses these words to announce that Jesus is a king. These aren't words from the worldly kingdom of the Roman Empire. These are words of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the new king, Jesus. In today's gospel reading, it tells us that Jesus, after being baptized by John the Baptist, spending time in the wilderness, went up to Galilee, and it says he began proclaiming the good news of God. The good news, the gospel of God. What is that gospel? Well, he explains it. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. The time is fulfilled. The time has come. It has arrived. Everything has worked toward this moment, and now it's here. And what is here is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the one who created all. The kingdom of God has come near. It is here. This is the good news. So what do we do? Repent. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, We often use it kind of like in the sense of, oh, I'm sorry, in confession. The word comes from more Greek at you. The word Greek word is metanoia, means turning of the head. And very often I've preached on it this way. We're kind of headed in one direction, and repenting is turning our head and going in a new direction. And as I was preparing today, really, the repentance called for here that Jesus was proclaiming is more like this to this. Because we tend to believe that what we see, this world we live in, that we can touch and feel and listen to, that this is the real world. And that in that time the real world was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire wanted to believe that was it. This is what life is all about, is getting by and getting along with this empire. But the proclamation of the good news of God, that the kingdom of God has come, it meant that this is not the only kingdom. And instead, there is a kingdom of God that has arrived, a kingdom of heaven that is in, with, and amongst us, that calls us to be to a new citizenry, to a new commitment, a new way of life, a new way of seeing the world. The repentance, the changing of the head, is looking down and believing everything that we see and hear, to looking up and believing in God. And so when Jesus says, believe in the good news, it's not just about reciting a creed. We can recite a creed and just do that by rote and not have any involvement of our being and of our heart. Belief is like faithing. Usually don't use faith as a word, but it means reconstituting one's being so things are different. Imagine that most of your life you were told that a particular person was your enemy. And so you lived in preparation or anticipation or getting ready for the harmful acts that enemy, that person, might do to you. And then one day, you realized, you were convinced, that instead of that person being your enemy, that person was your friend. Your being would shift. Instead of bracing and defending yourself, instead, there was like the welcoming and the camaraderie and the drawing together and looking for love. This is a reconstitution of being from, in this case, from the person as an enemy and protecting yourself to recognizing a friend and embracing. Jesus invites us. Jesus tells us to once you recognize that the kingdom of God, the reign of God is here, that God is at work, that gives a new way of seeing and it calls forth a new way of being. What does that new way of being look like? Well, we have the first examples here in the gospel. Jesus is walking along. He sees Simon, Peter, and Andrew. They're fishing. Jesus says, "Follow me." They drop their nets and follow. That's reconstituting their being. And Jesus even names it. Instead of fishing for fish, instead of impacting the lives of the fish that are under the water, you're going to reconstitute. Your way of being is going to shift so that you're partners with Jesus in changing the lives of people in the world. And it goes on, of course, there's Simon, who we also call Peter, and Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They accepted the call. They said, yes, we believe in your kingdom, and our lives, what we do and say, is going to shift to match that. This is kind of intimidating, isn't it? When Jesus calls us and asks us to repent, does it mean that we have to completely upend our lives and leave what is known and follow Jesus somewhere else? I notice what wants to come out of myself is no. It may be. But when Jesus calls us, that call is particular And part of our work is to discern that call. And we're just beginning this year. We're just beginning to read the Gospel of Mark. And there is some tremendously good news in the Gospel of Mark. And it shows up in the form of the disciples. If you pay attention as we hear these stories, these people that seem to get it right off the bat, drop what they were doing, and immediately step fully into being citizens and co-workers with God, what you'll see is that over and over, they just seem not to get it. I find that tremendously good news. The call of Jesus is one certainly that's first heard and responded to. But there is something about being human, where it's like when we hear the call of God, we're there. But as life hits us and we get surprised by new situations and go through life, it's like we start thinking that we're just citizens and participants in this world. Over and over, Jesus gently called those disciples to repentance, to recognize how God was at work in ways that they didn't see. In our first lesson, there's a story of repentance about the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians, the enemies of the Jews at that time. Jonah was glad to go there and tell them that unless they repented, that they were going to be destroyed. But what they did is when Jonah proclaimed that word to them, they reconstituted their being. They put on sackcloth, they called for days of mourning, and entered into prayer, and shifted the way they were living because they believed, they faithed what God had said. So also, we who have heard Jesus' call, who've been baptized in the name of the triune God, who have been, who are partners together in working with God, we also tend to do this. One of the reasons we gather is so that we can be reminded. We began our service today with confession and absolution. We said these words: we confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. When we gather together, we remind ourselves and each other that real life is found by gazing on Jesus, of remembering this kingdom of God that is amongst us. That's why we gather for worship. Oh, I so wish we could be gathering in person, and one day we will. But even through the internet, we gather together to remind ourselves to focus on God, to lift our gaze. We pray to stay in conversation with this God so that we can acknowledge the ways that we fall away. We choose to serve so that we continuously get our gaze off of ourselves and look toward the needs of others. We study so that we're eating and reading and listening to the Word that reminds us over and over again of the promises of Jesus, the promises that this is the abundant life. We encourage one another instead of participating in those words that knock people down and are so negative, that drag people down, but give words of encouragement, give heart to remind them that there's more than what we see. And we give, because the materialism of this world wants to pull us down. By giving, by tithing, we say, thank you, God, for all the ways that we have blessed us. You have blessed us. And now we give a portion. We give our tithe, our 10% back to you, so that we can remember that all of our blessings come from you. And we invite. We invite so that just as we have recognized the kingdom of God and live into it and participate in it, so also the other people that are trapped by this world, they're walking around just trying to get by, that through our words and actions, we may also, that they may see in us that there is more to life, that they see in the way that we live and that see the things that we say, that there's something going on. And what's going on is we have chosen to hear Jesus' call, to participate and put our lives in faith of the kingdom. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." Amen.